Jesus Christ is risen today. Hallelujah. Our triumphant holy day. Hallelujah. Who did once upon the cross? Hallelujah. Suffered to redeem our loss. Hallelujah. Hymns of praise then let us sing. Hallelujah. Unto Christ our heavenly King. Hallelujah.
And we share in these moments the Easter Gospel, which this year we will read from the Gospel of St. Mark, which begins in chapter 16 with verse 1. St. Mark chapter 16, verse 1, this is the word of the Lord. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" When they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were afraid. And he said unto them, "Be not afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they had laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him as he said to you." They went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Thus far the Easter Gospel for this Sunday morning. The text for this message this morning is taken from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 19, and reads as follows. Now in the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden was a new sepulcher where no man yet laid. Thus far the text. Jesus of Nazareth was dead. Yes, before the pre-Sabbath sky had grown dark for the second time that Good Friday, it was official. The Son of Mary had died. The political world knew this. The religious world knew it. His earthly relatives were aware of this. Him whom some had believed was truly the Messiah was officially dead. His mock trial was a sham. The accusations against him were false. Driven by jealousy and hate, the scheme to punish the innocent and free the guilty is still being carried out in today's culture. The scheme to punish the innocent and free the guilty is still being carried out in today's culture. The flogging was brutal beyond imagination. The nails were driven in tender flesh. The blood was spilled out on dry, barren ground. The echoes of blasphemous shouts were now silent. Yet uncontrollable tears were still being shed. His final words had been spoken. A spear had been thrust. The mysterious earthquake was now silent. Jesus of Nazareth was dead. But, in the indescribable sovereignty of Almighty God the Father, there is always a divine but. In the indescribable sovereignty of Almighty God, there is always a divine but in the inevitable workings of Father God. This is the miracle of the resurrection. Dr. Luke records these simple words in the writing of his gospel. In the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden. Did you know this? Have you ever considered this? In the place where Jesus was crucified, in the place of death, was a garden. It is a strange thing about gardens when you think about them, because gardens are often found in places where you at least expect them to be found. A rose blooming in the desert, an oasis in the sands, yes, even a lily in the valley. Beautiful flowers in a prison courtyard. A garden, even at the scene of creation, in a place where there had only been darkness and chaos previously. Life where you least expect to find it. Unquenchable life overcoming death. What strange message of Father God is this undeniable mystery of why the writer records the very fact that in the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden. The place where Jesus is crucified is most often referred to as Calvary. But technically, those who lived there at that time called it Golgotha. Golgotha, translated into simple English, means the place of the skull. Because after all, the flesh has been consumed from the body, the skull remains on the heap of broken lives. Bishop Sheen has written many years ago in his great, great biography called The Biography of the Christ. He writes these words, "Divinity is always where you least expect to find it. Divinity is always where you least expect to find it." This is the miracle of the resurrection. Father God bringing life where there was death. But we can also look a little deeper into how all of these various events move together to form this gospel of new life. For example, at the coming of Jesus in human flesh, we call it his birth, Father God used a Joseph of Nazareth, to assist wrapping the body of that child in cloth. And echoing that birth miracle, at the hour of his death, Father God sent another Joseph. Only this was Joseph of Arimathea, a very, very, very wealthy man. He owned a sepulcher. He owned a grave which had never been used. And that grave happened to be located in a garden in the shadow of Golgotha, in the shadow of the cross. And this second Joseph again took the cloth and wrapped the body of Jesus for its burial. So in his birth, Joseph wrapped him in cloth. In his death, another Joseph wrapped him in cloth. And that is why always on the cross above the altar, there is a cloth to remind us of the cloth, the covering, if you will, the Lord Jesus. From Scripture, we know that over and over and over, this miracle of life out of death has occurred. In the city of Nain, we are told the widow's son was dead. But as the funeral procession passed by, Jesus spoke the powerful words of life, and the son rose up. We are also told in Scripture that the widow's son, Jairus's daughter was dead. Once again, Jesus spoke the powerful words of life. At the command of Jesus, she rose up to live again. The great message of Easter is this: in the power of Almighty God, death does not have the final word. And nowhere is this fact more clearly stated than once again from the Gospel according to St. John. There in chapter 11, we read these words beginning with verse 13. Howbeit, Jesus spoke of his death. They thought he spoke of taking a rest in sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you would believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then Thomas, which is called Didymus, that means twin, said unto them, let us also go that we may die with him. Thomas never really got things straight, but we admire his courage and his bravery. Then Jesus came. He found that he'd lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. And Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she ran out to meet him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it to you. And Jesus said unto her, your brother shall rise again. Martha, maybe she scratched her head, I'm not sure. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Then Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Here again, this powerful, powerful testimony that death never has the final word. Only Father God has the final word. And as we have concluded our series of the I Am messages from the Gospel of John, it worked out so beautifully that the final I Am of Jesus in the Gospel of John occurs in the midst of life coming forth out of death. Because Jesus again spoke the words, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Now Jesus said three things to Martha that we need to hear very carefully. And as I was preparing this message over the last two or three weeks, something occurred to me that I don't recall ever thinking about previously. And what occurred to me is that sometimes in reading the scripture, we read a chapter, the whole chapter, or maybe we read a section, we read a story, or maybe we read two or three verses, but seldom, seldom, either we don't have the time or the inclination or the motivation to go back and look at each and every single word. And I would say to you that the great economy of Scripture is this, that the whole story of creation, life, death, resurrection, and eternity is all wrapped up in 66 rather brief writings. We call them books of the Bible. And in comparison, even the longest, the book of Isaiah, 66 chapters, is relatively short. But I would say to you that even in the economy that Father God and the Holy Spirit used in producing what we call the Bible, every single word is important. It's there because it is supposed to be there. Now, what are these three words? First word is very simply, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. And so we want to remind ourselves today, 2021, that the resurrection, and I prefer to call it Resurrection Sunday rather than Easter Sunday, because Easter Sunday has a much broader range of meaning and interpretation than Resurrection Sunday. And whatever Resurrection Sunday or the word resurrection may say to individuals, Jesus qualifies the meaning of this word in that simple, profound statement, I am the resurrection. Because in the final analysis, the resurrection is not a theory. The resurrection is not a philosophy. The resurrection is not a date on a calendar of a church year. Jesus is saying, the resurrection is in me. I am the resurrection. And therefore, if one is to experience not just simply accept and believe, but experienced in the fullest depth of your person, body, soul, and spirit. If one is to experience on a day such as today what we call the resurrection, then it can only be experienced in Jesus. There is no resurrection apart from Christ. There is no celebration of eternal life apart from Jesus. He is the resurrection and the life. Because all life, A-L-L, even the lives maybe we don't want to talk about, the lives that we maybe consider a little less worthy, the lives that we are so quickly willing to cast aside and not talk about, all life is precious to Father God. Because all life, not some lives, not most lives, all lives proceed from the heart of Father God. What happens after that, we're responsible for. I am, Jesus said, the resurrection. The resurrection is Jesus. Jesus is the resurrection. Now, secondly, he said another word that is so important. He says, he who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now, what did Jesus mean by that? That's an interesting thought. Though he were dead. Well, I am assuming, based upon what I understand the revelation of the Holy Spirit to be, that when you come upon someone who's passed away, as we say, I do not like people saying, we lost father, we lost mother. No, they're not lost. No one is ever lost permanently. But we can say that mother has passed away or my brother has passed away. When we come upon that body of the one who's passed on, we can look at that person as though he were dead. Well, of course we would. Of course we would. But the trick in looking at each word in Scripture is the Holy Spirit didn't write, we look at that person because he is dead. We look at that person as though. In other words, what he's saying is as if. There, Scripture challenges us again. Why would somebody look at a dead corpse and say, well, he looks as if he's dead. He's dead. Not in the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's as if he were dead. You see, those that gathered around Jairus' daughter, they were professional mourners. They're paid to come in and do that stuff. They come in and they're paid to do that stuff. And when Jesus was called there by the Father, and he got to the place where the little girl was, they were carrying on. And he discharged them. He sent them out. Because there's no place for pretense. There's no place for show. There's no place for theater. This is a place where life and death meet together. And God always triumphs. Jesus turned and said, she's not dead. And one of them might have said, well, it looks as though she's dead. Looks as if she's dead. Well, yes, of course it does. And even though sometimes we do everything we can to hide or disguise the real presence of what we call death, because inwardly, I think many people fear death. They fear death because they don't understand death. So they fear it. And Peter Marshall, in his great, great message, Go Down Death, written 50 or 60 years ago. Peter Marshall said, we cannot begin to learn how to live unless we have also learned what it means to die. Wow. We cannot fully understand what it means to live until we begin to understand what it means to die. Because life has an awful lot more to do with you and me than our 80, 90 years on this planet. Life goes on. Life goes on. Life goes on. And hopefully, it goes on in heaven with Jesus. The alternative is not very pleasant, but life goes on. So Jesus said, you look at Lazarus as if he were dead. But in full confidence, Jesus said, he shall live. How could he say that? Well, he could say that because of the third observation in this text. And this is it, verse 26. Whosoever lives, now that isn't existence. We're not talking about existence here. We covered that 2 or 3 weeks ago in our message. Not talking about existence. Talking about life with a capital L. Whosoever liveth, or we could say is truly alive and believes in me. Not believe in religion. Not believe in the Bible. Not believe in the doctrines of the church. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. He's the resurrection. He's the life. It's all about Jesus. He who believes in me. Now, I am submitting to you today the three of the most important single words ever recorded in Scripture or in the world, for that matter. Follow. Here are the three words. Shall never die. That's why Jesus could say to them, you look at him as if he were dead. Because that's not the truth. His body, of course, it has expired. But that's not death. That's not what the Bible teaches is death. Death is the passageway from this life to the next life. The question is that life going to be lived with Father God in heaven or that other alternative, which is very, very, very bad? He who lives and believes in me, I love this, shall never die. Why not? Why not? Because God said so. And death does not rule over the directives of Almighty God. Jesus said, shall never die. We have to be careful when we talk about somebody who's passed. Because Jesus said, shall never die. He's talking not about the corpse. He's talking about the life, the spirit and the soul. Shall never die. So actually, what happened was that Lazarus wasn't recreated. The widow's son, Nain, wasn't recreated. Jairus' daughter was not recreated. It was simply a matter of reconnecting that which was alive, the spirit and the soul, with the corpse, which was as if it were dead. Just remember, Father God always has the final word. Shall never die. Now there's a fourth thing in here, and it's scary. It's really scary. Because Jesus looked directly at Martha. Now remember, Mary, she's still in the house. She's not out there going on. She's in the house. It's just Martha and Jesus. Martha has some issues, you know. She's had some issues. So Jesus, I think, looked her straight in the eye. And he asked the most important question that you will ever be asked. You will ever be asked. Do you believe this? There it is. Do you believe this? You can't kind of believe it. It's like you can't kind of be pregnant. You either are or you are not. So the question on Resurrection Sunday morning is, do you believe this? And it doesn't mean, do you give intellectual assent to it? It doesn't mean, do you think that's probably true? That's like the commercial that's been on TV the last few weeks where they're getting ready to jump out of an airplane and they say to the one guy, are you certain that this parachute will work? And he says, well, pretty much. And he's got a backpack on his shoulders instead of a parachute, and out the plane he goes. Not a good idea. Do you believe this? Do you believe it in your heart, in your soul, in your entire being? Would you die for it rather than surrender that it's true? Jesus did. He died for it. Peter died for it. Paul died for it. Stephen died for it, for the truth. The question is, do you believe it? You have an opportunity to answer that question. If you wish to come to the altar here, Lloyd will pray with you. And if you haven't declared that belief and conviction, no better day than Resurrection Sunday to say, yes, Lord, I believe. With all my heart, I believe. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we celebrate a life that never ends. Our prayer is that the ongoing life will be lived in heaven with you and not in that alternative place of hell and death. The decision is ours. You have made the opportunity for us to receive eternal life. And Lord, I just wish to declare with all my body, soul, and spirit, I believe what Jesus has said. And I thank you for the gift of life, which is eternal. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. And the Lord's people said, Amen.